This week, I had a telephone interview with Donald Kreutzma after publication of his wonderful new book, The Singing Life of Birds.
Now, every year, at least 15, 20 people ask me, why do birds sing? And your book, if people didn't get anything else out of it, they would find out that it all depends on what the bird is, how they sure get enough. Their songs, and what their songs mean. Talk a little bit about the chickadee. Their songs are the same from the East Coast to the West Coast, with some very important exceptions.
Mm-hmm. And it's the exceptions that make it exciting. You can travel from, I say, Maine to, and I choose my West Coast location carefully, British Columbia. You can travel across the continent, and you hear what I think is the largest song dialect on record. It's called the CBE song, or the Hey Sweetie. Beautiful whistled. That's probably off key, but you get the idea. And, when you raise a baby chickadee, well, you ask, well, how do they maintain this huge dialect? How do all these chickadees maintain this same song over such a vast area and over what must be, you know, decades of time? Because we know if we tell a little story to someone and that person tells the next person and the next person, the story is pretty well slaughtered by the time it's gone through 10 generations. And you take a baby bird into the laboratory and have the young chickadees in different rooms, and they develop different dialects in the different rooms. And number of songbirds, if you play them a song over a loudspeaker, they'll learn that song beautifully, like a white-crowned sparrow. That was Peter Marler's work. But you play these birds this Hey Sweetie song, and they'll have nothing to do with it. The mysteries just amplify when you start to study what the babies are doing. And then, of course, there's the edges of the range that raise all kinds of more questions and mysteries.
Describe where there's the two completely different worlds of chickadees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the different worlds are at the edges of the range. One is west of the Cascades in Oregon and Washington, where, I could take you to Newport, Oregon, and the songs there are unique. It's just a unique dialect. And then the other place where the songs are unique is on these islands off the coast of Massachusetts, Martha's Vineyard. And there might be a couple of more places, too, like Fort Collins, Colorado now. There are a couple of little pockets here and there that we're learning about now that people are listening more carefully. But they're different. They're probably different on the western side of the Cascades and on Martha's Vineyard because these are somewhat isolated from the main flow of chickadees over the main part of the continent. Chickadees are known to erupt. That is, young birds especially move massive distances. So there's a lot of mixing and, I think, communicating among these chickadees in this main dialect area. But it's known that chickadees don't even like to cross highways, for example. So those 4 miles to Martha's Vineyard, few, if any, chickadees probably make that flight.
So they have this nice little isolated clan with their own little language.
That's my best guess as to the explanation. And then on Martha's Vineyard itself, there are 3 different dialects. One, well, if you take the mainland song and call it Hey Sweetie, those 2 main whistles on the first higher pitch than the second. On Martha's Vineyard, all of the whistles are on the same, within a song, are on the same pitch. So, and then on the western end of Martha's Vineyard, the birds there sing 2 songs, one on a high pitch and one on a low pitch, and they're both what I would say, sweetie, hey. There's a little break in the first whistle and no break in the second. So it's just a monotone. But then in the middle of the island, you have a break in both whistles. Maybe, I call it a sweetie sweetie. And in the far eastern end near Edgartown, there are 2 breaks in the first whistle and 1 in the last, a so sweetie sweetie. It's incredible. On this little island, you have more song variation than from Maine to British Columbia.
That's just so amazing. And you present it really well in the book. And one of the valuable things about your book, The Singing Life of Birds, is that it comes with the CD. So every song you're writing about, people can hear.
The goal is to make these birds come alive.
In tomorrow's program, Don tells me about a tiny bird that is one of the big exceptions to several rules of bird song, the sedge wren. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.